Usually when we talk about a massive life transition, there's this kind of underlying assumption that you're making a clear, undeniable upgrade.
Right, like upgrading your phone.
Yeah, exactly. Like a phone. You trade in the old model, hand it over the counter, and you get the new one. And the new one has, a better camera, the battery actually lasts all day, the processor is faster.
It's just an obvious transaction.
It's totally linear, right? It's clean.
Right.
But then you step into the world of interstate relocation.
Oh, man. Which is anything but clean right now.
No, especially when you start looking at the wildly volatile, high-stakes real estate landscape of 2026, suddenly that linear upgrade path is just completely shattered.
Yeah, we aren't looking at a simple step up anymore. Not at all.
No, we are looking at a geographical trade-off that is mathematically staggering, but psychologically, incredibly murky.
It is the absolute definition of lifestyle muddy waters. I mean, you're trading known comforts for completely unknown variables.
All in the pursuit of financial liberation, essentially.
Okay. Right.
Well, welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are on a very specific mission, and it's custom tailored for you, the listener, if you happen to be standing at this very particular crossroads.
And it's a fascinating crossroads.
It really is. We are unpacking a hyper-focused, massive life transition based on a 2026 relocation guide and cost math analysis put together by real estate broker Gennaro Schaffer.
Which is such a candid source, by the way.
Oh, incredibly candid, no hype whatsoever. And this deep dive is explicitly designed for you if you are seriously considering or maybe just desperately daydreaming about packing up your life on the sun-drenched coast of San Diego, California.
And moving exactly 1,345 miles north.
Yes, to the moody, deeply forested, unapologetically gray shores of Bellingham, Washington.
And what makes this specific relocation analysis so fascinating to me is its utter lack of real estate marketing spin.
It strips away the glossy brochures entirely.
It really does. It
Yeah.
forces us to look pragmatically at what happens when you decide to trade what is, let's be real, arguably America's best year-round climate.
For two very distinct things.
Right. Zero state income tax and a massive life-altering equity reset.
Okay, let's unpack this right out of the gate because we need a mental framework to wrap our heads around this trade.
I love analogies for this kind of thing.
Yeah, so moving from San Diego to Bellingham right now is essentially like deciding to sell a pristine, incredibly high-maintenance Ferrari.
Okay, a Ferrari.
Yeah, like a car that looks amazing, it turns heads, it's an absolute joy to drive when the sun is out, but it costs you an absolute fortune to insure.
And requires constant expensive tuning.
Exactly. And it's incredibly stressful to park anywhere. So you're selling that Ferrari to buy a perfectly capable, fully paid off, extremely reliable SUV.
Sounds practical.
It is. And as a bonus, when you buy that SUV, you get to keep a massive life-changing pile of cash right there in the glove box.
That is a phenomenal way to look at the financial transaction. But, the Ferrari analogy demands the other half of the reality.
Right, the catch. The massive, inescapable catch to this transaction is that you have to drive that fully paid-off SUV in the rain.
For 6 months out of the year.
Yep. Your windshield wipers are going to be working overtime. So the question we're exploring today, the ultimate puzzle we are trying to solve for you is the trade worth it?
Because this isn't just a conversation about packing boxes and hiring a moving truck, right?
No, not at all.
What we are really dissecting today is a profound exercise in geographical arbitrage. We are going to explore the hard math, the actual dollars and
The
cents.
brutal climate realities, too.
Oh, absolutely. And we'll walk through the very precise, high-stakes logistics of pulling off a move of this magnitude without losing your mind.
Or your shirt.
Exactly. Because we need to analyze not just what changes in your daily life, but fundamentally why so many Southern Californians are being actively pushed to make this exact trade in 2026.
Yes, the why is everything. And before we even get into the logistics or the endless debates about rain jackets, we have to address the giant suntanned elephant in the room.
Why leave the sunshine?
Exactly. Why on earth would anyone willingly leave 72 degrees and sunny? San Diego has the best weather in the continental United States, period.
You do not leave paradise by accident.
You don't. You don't wake up one morning in La Gala or Encinitas, look at the ocean, and say, "You know what I need? Drizzle."
No, you definitely don't.
So what's driving this? Because looking at the data, the answer is purely, undeniably mathematical.
It is entirely numbers driven. I mean, the weather might be perfect, but the balance sheet is broken.
So broken.
And the numbers we are looking at for May 2026 are sobering to the point of being structural barriers for normal families.
They are wild. I was staring at this data trying to make it make sense. Let's look at these median single-family home prices.
Prepare yourself.
Right now in San Diego, the median single-family home is sitting at a staggering $1.1 million.
And we really need to pause on that word. Median.
Yes, median. We are not talking about a sprawling estate in Rancho Santa Fe here.
Or a cliffside mansion in Del Mar.
No, we are talking about a standard mid-tier, maybe three-bedroom, two-bathroom house.
Probably built in the 1970s.
Exactly. Probably needing a kitchen update, sitting in neighborhoods like Claremont or North Park or Oceanside, over seven figures for the middle of the pack.
That is the reality of the Southern California squeeze right there.
It is.
Meanwhile, if you cast your eyes 1,300 miles north to Bellingham, Washington, the median single-family home sits at $650,000.
And that $450,000 gap, that differential right there, that's the engine driving this entire migration.
That is the geographical arbitrage.
Exactly. But let's actually walk through the mechanics of this, because throwing around $500,000 abstractly doesn't really capture what this does to a family's life.
Let's do the exact math. Seeing the numbers play out step by step makes the concept of an equity reset incredibly real.
Okay, walk me through it. Let's assume you, the listener, own that median San Diego home.
Right. So it is currently valued at $1.1 million. You decide to sell. The first thing you have to account for is transactional friction.
Because real estate isn't a frictionless market.
Exactly. You have selling costs. Typically, that's around 6% for agent commissions, title fees, escrow, and staging.
Right. You have to pay the buyer's agent and your listing agent.
So that 6% is standard. But on $1.1 million, 6% is a massive chunk of change.
It's $66,000 just vanishing into the ether to facilitate the transaction.
Precisely. So after the ink dries, your net proceeds from the sale land at roughly $1,034,000.
Okay, assuming you owned it free and clear for the sake of this example, you now have just over $1 million sitting completely liquid in your bank account.
Which is a terrifying and exhilarating amount of money.
To just see sitting in a checking account.
So you take that cash and you execute the move to Bellingham. You enter the market there and you buy their median home outright.
For $650,000.
Right. You find a great house for exactly $650,000. Mm-hmm. Now, you also have friction on the buying side, of course.
Sure, closing costs.
Let's factor in roughly $10,000 for buyer closing costs, inspections, and immediate moving incidentals up there. Okay. So your total cash outlay to acquire the new house and get the keys is $660,000.
Wait, I'm running this math in my head, and it's actually blowing my mind when you isolate the steps.
It's powerful.
You had a $1,034,000. You spent $660,000.
Yes. When you subtract that Bellingham purchase from your San Diego proceeds, you are left with approximately $374,000 in cash.
Remaining.
Unspent. After you have completely, 100%, paid off your new Washington home.
You own a house free and clear. No mortgage.
No 30-year amortization schedule hanging over your head.
And you have $374,000 sitting in your bank account.
That right there is the equity reset. You have successfully untrapped your wealth.
Untrapped it. I like that.
Because for decades, Californians have built massive paper wealth as their property values skyrocketed. But that wealth is completely useless to them on a Tuesday afternoon.
Right. It's trapped in the drywall. It's locked in the foundation.
You can't buy groceries with home equity unless you take out a loan against it, which just adds more monthly debt.
This transaction liquidates the walls and converts it into pure, unadulterated freedom.
Exactly.
I mean, for a lot of people, $374,000 in liquid cash is enough to fundamentally change their relationship with work.
Oh, absolutely.
That can fund years of living expenses if you want to take a sabbatical, or it can be deployed into safe dividend stocks or treasuries to generate actual passive income.
You aren't just moving. You are literally rewriting your family's financial trajectory for generations.
And that is just the median example. The analysis we are looking at specifically zeroes in on the phenomenon of people moving from higher-end San Diego enclaves.
The math scales. And as it scales, it becomes almost surreal.
Oh, this is where it gets really interesting, because 1.1 million is the middle. But what about the listener sitting in La Jolla or Encinitas or Carlsbad?
Right, the coastal pockets.
Yeah, in those pockets, homes routinely clear $1.5 million to $3 million. A completely average-looking house in Del Mar is a multi-million dollar asset simply because of the zip code and the ocean breeze.
For those high-end buyers, the mathematics of the equity reset become almost absurd.
Break it down for me.
Let's scale the hypothetical.
What?
You sell a home in La Jolla for $2 million. Your net proceeds, after that painful 6% frictional cost, are $1.88 million.
Okay, $1.88 million in cash.
You take that money to Bellingham, but you don't buy a $2 million house in Bellingham because you don't need to.
Right. You buy that same perfectly comfortable $650,000 median home.
Exactly, because $650,000 in Bellingham buys you a fantastic house. It buys you a real yard, nice finishes, and a great neighborhood.
So you spend the $660,000 total to buy and close.
And you are now left with over $1.2 million in liquid cash.
That is staggering. The leftover cash entirely exceeds the purchase price of the new Washington home.
By a lot.
You bought a house for cash, and you kept double the value of the house in your pocket.
Often by a factor or two, yeah. So what does this actually represent in terms of a human lifespan?
You are compressing time. That is the only way I can think to describe it.
It really is time travel for your finances.
If you tried to save $1.2 million from your salary, even a very good San Diego salary, after taxes, after living expenses, after the mortgage, how many years would that take?
30, 40. For most, it's impossible.
This kind of move compresses decades of Southern California property appreciation into liquid, instantly usable wealth.
You are taking a geographical premium, the fact that millions of people want to live in San Diego and are willing to bid up the prices, and you are cashing in your chips.
You're walking away from the high-stakes table and taking your winnings to a quieter room. It's freedom from the grind.
It is.
Okay, so we have firmly established this massive one-time windfall. The equity reset is a monumental, life-changing event. But let's be real. Life isn't just about your net worth on a spreadsheet.
No, net worth doesn't pay for your Tuesday night takeout.
Exactly. Life is about your checking account. It's about the daily, monthly, and yearly burn rate of a household. And this is where the 2026 data really digs into the day-to-day grinding math of existing in California versus existing in Washington.
And this is exactly where the Washington State Advantage stops being a one-time event and begins to compound aggressively over time.
Oh, the compounding.
Because the single most important line item in this entire financial comparison, even more than the house price, is the income tax flip.
The dreaded California income tax. It is notorious.
Let's say the least.
If you are a high earner in California, you feel this in your bones every single pay period. The data shows that the state income tax runs anywhere from a base of 1% all the way up to 12.3% for high earners.
And it doesn't stop there.
No. If you have had a spectacularly good year, or you sell a business, there is an additional 1% mental health services surcharge on income over $1 million, plus various payroll surcharges.
It can easily push effective top marginal rates past 14%.
The state is a massive silent partner in your career.
Contrast that structural reality with Washington State. Washington has exactly 0% state income tax.
Zero.
Zero. Nothing on your W-2 income.
It sounds like a typo every time I read it. As a Californian, your brain literally rejects the concept. What do you mean, zero?
But the implications for a family's cash flow are immediate and massive.
Give me a real-world example from the data.
Let's look at the breakdown provided for a fairly standard professional San Diego household. Let's say a dual-income household earning $200,000 a year combined.
Okay.
When that family makes this move, simply by changing their zip code and filing their taxes from Washington instead of California, they're retaining roughly $18,000 to $22,000 annually.
Just by breathing the air in a different state, they get a $20,000 raise.
Depending on their exact bracket and deductions, yes.
That is an extra $1,500 to $1,800 a month in actual usable cash in your pocket.
Now, let's connect this to the bigger picture of generational wealth generation.
Yeah.
Because human nature says you might just absorb that $1,500 a month into lifestyle creek.
Right. You buy a nicer car, you eat out more.
But what if you don't? What if you recognize that this is found money? If you take that $20,000 a year in tax savings and you diligently invest it into a basic S&P 500 index fund.
Oh, this math is going to be good.
Compounded over 20 years at a very conservative 6% real return, you are looking at generating $650,000 to $800,000 in pure wealth.
That is mind-bending. You are essentially generating enough money to buy a second house in Bellingham, simply utilizing the money you saved by legally avoiding California state income tax.
It's the invisible power of tax drag being lifted off your portfolio.
Tax drag destroys compounding. Washington removes it entirely on the income side.
Exactly.
Okay, but I have to stop you here because any savvy California homeowner listening to this is immediately screaming two words at their dashboard right now.
Let me guess. Proposition 13.
Proposition 13. California is famous or infamous, depending on who you ask, for Prop 13, which strictly caps property tax increases.
Right.
Your assessed value can only go up a maximum of 2% a year, no matter how much the actual market value skyrockets. Doesn't that structural protection make California cheaper for property taxes in the long run?
It is a brilliant question, and it is the most common assumption Sandiegans make. But the data analysis here provides some critical, deeply necessary nuance.
Lay it on me.
The mechanism of Prop 13 is often misunderstood by the time the tax bill actually arrives. Yes, the base rate is indeed 1%, and the 2% cap on assessed value increases is real.
Right.
If you bought your house in 1998 for $250,000, Prop 13 is an absolute shield, and you are paying pennies on the dollar compared to your neighbor who bought yesterday.
Right. It rewards the people who never move and locks them in.
But if you are buying a home now, or if you bought in the last 5 to 10 years, that 1% base rate is rarely the effective rate you actually write a check for.
Because of all the add-ons, the hidden layers of the tax onion?
Precisely. You have to understand how California municipalities function. Because Prop 13 starves local governments of the ability to raise general property taxes to fund growth, they rely heavily on special assessment districts.
Oh, no.
The most notorious are Mellow Roos Community Facility Districts.
Oh, Mellow Roos, the bane of every new housing development in Southern California.
Exactly. When a new development is built, new roads, new schools, new sewer lines, the city doesn't have the broad tax base to pay for it. So they slap a Mellow Roos bond on the specific homes in that development.
And adds up fast.
Add in various voter-approved local bond levies for schools and community colleges, and suddenly the actual effective property tax rate in many desirable San Diego ZIP codes is pushed up to 1.19% to 1.37%.
So you think you are paying 1%, but by the time you add the school bonds in the Mellow Roos, you are approaching 1.4%.
Now compare that mechanism to Bellingham. Washington State also has limitations on property tax growth, but their assessment mechanism is different. The effective property tax rate in Bellingham hovers around 0.85%.
Wow.
So let's run the math on the actual median homes again to see the real-world impact. On a $1.1 million San Diego home at a 1.37% effective rate, you are writing a check for upwards of $15,000 a year in property taxes.
That is over $1,200 a month just to lease the land from the government.
Take your new $650,000 Bellingham home at a 0.85% effective rate. You are paying around $5,500 a year.
So you are saving over $7,500 annually just on property taxes alone.
Yep.
Combined with the income tax savings we just calculated, we are looking at almost $30,000 a year in pure tax savings for a household making $200,000. That is undeniable math.
Life-changing cash flow.
But let's move down the spreadsheet. Let's talk about keeping the lights on. Because the analysis points out that the utility bill is the number that genuinely shocks San Diego buyers the most when they finally sit down and compare.
Which is deeply counterintuitive to most people, right? You would instinctively think that the place with perfect, moderate weather would be significantly cheaper to power.
Exactly. If you live in San Diego, especially near the coast, you practically never run a heater.
No, never.
And historically, you rarely ran the AC, though that is changing. You open the windows, the ocean breeze is your HVAC system.
Must be nice.
But despite that perfect climate, San Diego Gas and Electric SDG&E is consistently ranked as one of the most expensive utility providers in the entire country.
It's brutal.
The numbers show the average monthly bill in San Diego for a family using electricity, gas, and water is hovering around $400.
And the underlying mechanics of why it is so expensive are fascinating.
Why is it so high?
It is partly due to SDG&E's specific infrastructure investments, wildfire mitigation costs, and state-mandated green energy transitions, which get passed down to the ratepayer.
Right.
But there is also a structural demand issue. Because the climate is so mild, it creates this year-round baseline demand. People run pool pumps all year. They run multiple refrigerators all year. There aren't the drastic seasonal breaks that force people to completely power down certain systems like in other parts of the country.
And when you contrast that with Bellingham.
In Bellingham, you have actual freezing winters. Yeah. We have dark days where the lights are on at 4 p.m.
Yeah.
You absolutely have to run your central heating for months at a time.
So it should be higher, right?
Yet, despite that heavy seasonal usage, a comparable home runs about $200, $250 a month for all combined utilities.
Half the price.
Because the power grid up there is heavily supported by massive, relatively cheap hydroelectric power from the dams in the Pacific Northwest. The energy source itself is fundamentally cheaper to produce and deliver.
So that's another $1,800 to $2,400 a year saved just by switching your power grid.
Exactly.
And then there is the literal fuel for your life gas for your car. The guide cites San Diego gas at $5.45 a gallon in 2026, burdened by California's specific summer blend requirements and heavy gas taxes.
Versus $4 a gallon in Bellingham.
If you drive a standard commuter amount, you are saving roughly $780 a year just at the pump. And let's not forget auto insurance.
Oh, the insurance market's price risk vary differently in these two regions.
Mm.
Auto insurance is routinely 15% to 25% cheaper in Washington State.
Because the risk profile is completely different, you have drastically less urban density. Fewer cars on the road means fewer collisions.
Lower density often correlates with lower rates of organized automotive theft, too. The actuarial tables just heavily favor the smaller city.
It becomes a cascading effect of savings across almost every single daily expense. Even the grocery store checkout is lighter. The data indicates San Diego grocery costs are roughly 13% above the national average, heavily influenced by real estate costs for the grocers and transportation costs.
Oh, and Bellingham sits right at the national average.
Okay, I have let you run with the savings, but I have to step in and offer some genuine pushback here.
Let's hear it.
I was combing through this data, and I noticed one line item that absolutely goes the other way. A line item that California actually wins.
Sales tax.
Sales tax. Bellingham's sales tax is 8.8%. San Diego's base sales tax is 7.75%. So Washington is actively taking more money out of your pocket every single time you swipe your card for a coffee or a new TV or a pair of shoes.
True.
And psychologically, that higher percentage at the register feels like a constant penalty. It conflicts with this whole idea of a lower stress lifestyle if you feel like you're being overtaxed on every daily purchase.
You are entirely correct on the rate. The sales tax in Washington is higher, and it does create a psychological friction at the point of sale.
It's annoying.
It is. The state has to generate revenue somehow, since they aren't taking it from your income. But we have to contextualize the actual math of that psychological friction.
Okay, lay out the math.
Let's say your family is fortunate enough to spend $40,000 a year purely on taxable retail goods. We aren't talking about groceries or rent, which are exempt. We're talking about $40,000 of pure shopping clothes, electronics, cars.
That is a lot of discretionary shopping.
It is. That 1.05% difference in the sales tax rate means you are paying exactly $420 more per year in Bellingham compared to San Diego on that $40,000 of spending.
Okay. I see where you are going.
Now, compare that $420 penalty at the register to the $20,000 you just saved by not paying state income tax. Compare it to the $7,500 you saved in property tax or the $2,000 you saved on your utility bill. The sales tax difference, while psychologically annoying when you look at a receipt, is a literal rounding error in the grand scheme of the annual household budget.
Yeah, when you lay it out with those specific mechanisms,
yeah,
the pushback falls apart. You would happily pay an extra $400 at Target over the course of a year to keep $20,000 of your salary.
I know I would.
The analysis notes that when you aggregate all of these factors, the mortgage reduction, the taxes, the utilities, the insurance transplants, San Diego transplants consistently report a 30% to 40% reduction in their overall monthly burn rate.
Just think about that.
Imagine taking your family's monthly living expenses, the number that keeps you up at night, and just taking a machete to it, slashing a full third of it right off the top.
It completely changes the stress profile of a family. It changes how you sleep. It changes the types of jobs you feel forced to take. It allows for a massive exhale.
It really does. But here's the crux of the issue. If the math is that undeniably good, if the financial liberation is that absolute, why isn't every single person in San Diego packing up a U-Haul right this second?
Why stay?
Right. The 5 North should be a parking lot of moving trucks. But it's not, because leaving paradise requires more than just a financial pull. You don't leave 72 and sunny just for a good spreadsheet.
No, you have to be pushed.
You have to be squeezed out. The sunshine isn't the problem. It's that the infrastructure supporting the sunshine is breaking down. So let's examine the structural issues outlined in the data that are actively accelerating this exodus from Southern California.
This is a crucial pivot. We have to shift from the financial opportunity of Bellingham to the very harsh physical realities of San Diego in 2026.
What are the main drivers?
The analysis identifies 5 major push factors that are forcing people's hands. Irrational housing costs, soaring and unstable insurance rates, deep water scarcity, paralyzing traffic, and the psychological weight of density.
Let's start with the big one, the one that dominates every dinner party conversation in California housing.
Of course.
We already talked about the $1.1 million median price, but what does it actually take, mechanically, to afford that house in 2026?
Let's run the underwriting. Assuming you can somehow scrape together a 20% down payment.
Which is $220,000 in liquid cash, a massive hurdle for first-time buyers.
Huge hurdle. But say you do. You are financing $880,000. Depending on the exact interest rate environment, your principal and interest payment alone is going to be hovering around $5,800 a month.
It's just the principal and interest.
Right. Once you layer in those property taxes we discussed, plus homeowners insurance, plus maintenance, a household needs to be earning well over $220,000 a year in gross income just to comfortably carry that median home without becoming dangerously house poor.
And as the data bluntly points out, the median household income in San Diego does not even approach $220,000 a year.
Exactly. This is what the analysis means by irrational. The foundational relationship between local wages and local housing costs has completely decoupled.
It's untethered from reality.
The economy of San Diego does not pay the wages required to buy the houses in San Diego. It's fundamentally unsustainable for the middle class.
So who is buying them?
The market is being propped up by inherited wealth, tech equity from other regions, and severe inventory shortages, not by local economic fundamentals.
And even if you are the high earner, even if you can afford that massive mortgage, you are now running into a wall that didn't exist 10 years ago. You might not be able to actually insure the house.
The insurance crisis is real.
This part of the 2026 data felt incredibly urgent. It brought up the massive Los Angeles fires from January 2025.
That event was a systemic shock to the California real estate market.
Tell me about it.
The wildfire risk in San Diego County, particularly as you move inland towards places like Poway, Alpine, or Fallbrook, has become so severe and unpredictable that the major private insurance carriers, the State Farms and Allstates of the world, are simply calculating that the risk is uninsurable.
They're just pulling out.
They are restricting new policies, refusing to renew existing ones, or exiting the California market entirely.
The structural breakdown of the insurance market is terrifying. The data notes that homeowners in these fire-adjacent neighborhoods are being systematically pushed onto the California FAIR Plan.
Right.
And we need to explain what that actually is, because it's not just another insurance company.
No, the FAIR Plan is the state's syndicated insurer of last resort. It is a shared risk pool mandated by the state when the private market fails.
It's the backup parachute.
Exactly. Mm. And it is not designed to be competitive or affordable. It is designed to offer bare bones, absolute worst case scenario fire coverage.
And it is barely holding together as a financial backstop because it is taking on all the state's concentrated risk.
Mm-hmm.
People in San Diego are opening their mail and finding out they are paying $4,000, $8,000, sometimes over $10,000 annually just for this restrictive fire coverage on top of their regular life. Liability insurance.
It destroys the monthly budget.
Completely. And if we look at Bellingham,
$1,200 to $1,800 annually for comprehensive coverage.
Right.
Because you are sitting in a temperate rainforest. You simply do not have to worry about a spark in dry chaparral driven by Santa Ana wines wiping out your entire zip code in 3 hours.
But fire isn't the only environmental stressor pushing people out. There is the absolute inverse problem, water.
This is perhaps the deepest, most existential structural vulnerability for Southern California. San Diego is essentially a desert sitting on the ocean. It is one of the driest, large metropolitan areas in the country.
They import an estimated 85% to 90% of their water.
Right. It's pumped over mountains and through deserts from the Colorado River and from Northern California via the State Water Project.
And those sources are notoriously stressed. We hear about the Colorado River compacts and drought restrictions constantly. The entire region's survival is dependent on a highly engineered, deeply fragile water importation system.
Meanwhile, look at the hydrology of Whatcom County. Bellingham draws its municipal water comfortably and locally from Lake Whatcom and the Nooksack River, which are fed by the massive, reliable snowpack of Mount Baker and the relentless Pacific Northwest rainfall.
They just have water everywhere.
They simply do not face the same long-term existential water constraints. The resource is abundant and local.
So you have a housing crisis where prices are decoupled from wages, an insurance crisis where the private market is collapsing, and a looming long-term water crisis.
Quite the trifecta.
And then you step outside your front door to go to work, and you hit the immediate daily crisis, the traffic.
The infrastructure was not designed for the population boom. Interstate 5 through San Diego, especially during commute hours, is brutal.
It's a parking lot?
The data highlights a devastating metric. A standard commute of just 12 miles can regularly take 50 to 70 minutes.
A 12-mile commute taking over an hour? That is soul-crushing. You are moving at 10 miles an hour? You're losing hours of your life every week just staring at the bumper in front of you?
In Bellingham, the data shows a 12-mile commute takes exactly 18 minutes. It is just unimpeded movement.
And that brings up my absolute favorite concept in this entire analysis. We have to talk about population density.
Let's do it.
San Diego County has roughly 3.3 million people packed into its buildable footprint. Whatcom County, where Bellingham sits, has about 240,000. That is a 14-to-1 ratio.
And that ratio dictates the entire rhythm of daily life. The analysis perfectly describes this as the invisible low-level friction of urban density.
I love that phrase, invisible friction. It perfectly captures a feeling that Southern Californians experience every day, but rarely articulate.
You don't even notice it until it's gone.
Exactly. You don't realize how much physical and mental energy you expend just fighting for basic public space. You fight for a parking spot at Trader Joe's.
Oh, Trader Joe's parking lots are a battlefield.
A literal battlefield. You wake up at 6 a.m. on a Saturday because you know if you don't, you will have to fight for a parking spot at the Torrey Pines Trailhead.
Mm-hmm.
You fight for a table at a decent restaurant on a Tuesday.
Always competing.
You are in a state of constant low-level competition with 3 million other people just to exist in your own city. And you don't even realize how exhausting it is, how high your cortisol levels are running, until you move somewhere with a 14-to-1 lower density and suddenly the friction is gone.
You just pull up to the grocery store and park near the door. You walk into the restaurant and sit down. You decide to go for a hike at noon and the trailhead is half empty.
The mechanical resistance of daily life disappears.
It does.
Okay, so we've built the case. The math is an absolute slam dunk. The financial stress relief is obvious. The push factors, the fires, the costs, the friction from California are severe. It's time for the catch. We have completely romanticized the spreadsheets and the lack of traffic. Now we must talk about the brutal truth.
We have to stop looking at the ground and start looking at the sky.
We have to talk about the weather. Because the reality of this trade is that you're giving up 266 gloriously sunny, perfect days in San Diego for exactly 230 gray, cloudy, or actively rainy days in Bellingham.
The analysis does not sugarcoat this reality, and neither should we. San Diego undeniably possesses the best climate in the continental U.S.
It's basically a brochure.
You live in a narrow band of perfection, 57 degrees to 72 degrees year-round. There's no real winter. You never scrape a windshield. You never shovel a driveway.
Never.
Bellingham, on the other hand, receives about 36 inches of rain a year. But it's not the volume of rain that shocks people. It's the duration. It has a distinct, inescapable six-month gray period.
Late October to late April. Six straight months where the sky is just a low, oppressive ceiling of gray.
Just gray.
It's not necessarily a torrential downpour every day. It's a constant misting drizzle, and the temperatures are no joke. January lows hover right near freezing, around 33 to 35 degrees.
It's bone-chilling if you aren't used to it.
I have to push back on the enthusiasm for the Pacific Northwest here, because it is incredibly easy to say, oh, I like the rain, it's cozy, I can read a book, when you are sitting in a sun-drenched cafe in Southern California wearing flip-flops in November.
Oh, absolutely.
But 6 months of relentless gray, that is a profound psychological test.
It is entirely a psychological test, and many people fail it. The human body reacts to the lack of sunlight. Seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, is a very real physiological response.
Yes, SAD is huge.
The analysis explicitly recognizes this danger. It states that for people who have spent their entire lives baking in the Southern California sun, year one in Washington is almost always a deep struggle. Your body literally doesn't know how to process the darkness.
That sounds miserable.
And this is exactly why the guide provides what I consider the most crucial, pragmatic piece of advice in the entire document, the January test.
Yes. If anyone listening takes exactly one thing away from this deep dive, it needs to be the January test. Let's explain how this works.
The protocol is simple but strict. Do not, under any circumstances, go to Bellingham for a real estate scouting trip in July.
Why not July?
Because do not go when the mountain is out and the water is sparkling.
Oh.
That is a trap. If you are serious about this move, you must book a flight in the dead of winter, January or February.
Go when it's at its worst.
Exactly. You fly up there and you intentionally go walk around the historic neighborhood of Fairhaven in the bitter cold drizzle. You drive up Chuckanut Drive on a gloomy overcast Tuesday afternoon. You sit by yourself in a local coffee shop and you just look out the window at the gray, churny bay.
And you pay close attention to your body. You listen to your nervous system.
What is your body telling you?
The guide says, if you sit in that grayness and you feel a sense of peace, if you feel settled, if the quiet actually lowers your heart rate, then you are a candidate. You will survive the move. You will adapt.
Got it.
But if you look out at that endless gray ceiling and you immediately feel dread, if that low-grade seasonal depression instantly kicks in and your chest tightens, you must trust that biological signal.
Trust it completely.
Get back on the plane and stay in California. The millions of dollars in equity and the lack of traffic are absolutely not worth sacrificing your mental health.
It is a critical diagnostic tool.
Mm-hmm.
But we also must acknowledge that if you can pass the January test, there is an extraordinary payoff waiting for you.
The summer payoff.
July and August in Bellingham are nothing short of spectacular. Because of the northern latitude, the days are incredibly long. The sun doesn't set until 9:30 or sometimes 10:00 p.m.
10 p.m. sunsets?
You are talking about high temperatures resting perfectly at 72 to 75 degrees. There is absolutely zero humidity. And unlike the rest of the country, which is increasingly suffering under suffocating weeks-long heat domes, the Pacific Northwest coastal summer remains incredibly temperate.
The data literally quotes San Diego transplants who begrudgingly admit July and August up here are actually better than anything in San Diego.
That is high praise.
And that's a massive statement. But you have 15 hours of daylight. The trails in the Chacinet Mountains are perfect. You're sea kayaking in the San Juan Islands. The local farmers markets are bursting with local produce. You just have to endure the 6 months of dark winter to earn those two magical months of summer.
But the climate shift dictates more than just your wardrobe. It forces a complete lifestyle and identity shift.
This is the hidden cost. You are fundamentally trading an ocean identity for a mountain and bay identity.
What do you mean by that?
Think about it. If your entire personality, your entire weekend routine is built around surfing the break at Torrey Pines before work or playing beach volleyball in Mission Beach, Bellingham is going to break your heart.
Yeah, you aren't doing that in Washington.
The water is freezing. You have to be willing to evolve. You have to trade the surfboard for a kayak or the beach cruiser for skis at Mount Baker. Your hobbies have to change, which means a piece of your identity has to change.
And we cannot discuss identity and culture without discussing the culinary trade-off.
Oh, the heartbreak. Yes, we must mourn the food.
It's a real loss.
When you leave San Diego, you are losing access to arguably the best, most authentic Mexican food in the country outside of Mexico itself.
It's unparalleled.
You are losing that incredible, staggering depth of fresh, cheap seafood that comes from being right next to Baja California. You cannot replicate a proper San Diego fish taco in Washington State. The tomatoes just don't taste the same.
They don't.
Now, the analysis is quick to defend Bellingham, noting that it punches way above its weight for a city of its size. Because of the university presence, it has a vibrant food scene, great breweries, farm-to-table spots.
But it's different.
But it is fundamentally different. It's salmon and root vegetables, not mahi-mahi and fresh salsa. You will find yourself budgeting for a desperate taco run every single time you fly back south to visit family.
So, assuming our listener has survived the January test in their mind, they have accepted the gray, and they are willing to trade carne asada for fresh Pacific Northwest salmon. The next logical hurdle is pure execution.
The logistics, the terrifying mechanics of the move. How do you actually pull off a 1,345-mile relocation without accidentally destroying your career trajectory, or worse, buying a complete lemon of a house because you couldn't see it in person?
Let's address the career aspect first, because in 2026, job portability is the absolute linchpin of this entire migration pattern.
You need an income.
The analysis breaks down San Diego's major economic sectors into distinct categories. Biotech, tech, defense, tourism, and healthcare.
Okay, let's go through them. If you work in biotech around Sorrento Valley or in the general tech sector, the transition is usually incredibly smooth.
Very smooth.
Those industries have heavily embraced long-term remote work. And here is the beautiful bureaucratic reality. Because Washington has no state income tax, your HR department doesn't have to jump through complicated multi-state tax compliance hoops to keep you on the payroll.
Oh, that makes it so much easier.
They simply change your address, stop withholding California state tax, and you instantly keep more of your paycheck. It is a seamless transition.
However, there is a massive caveat for a huge segment of the San Diego population.
The defense sector.
If you are one of the tens of thousands of people working for major defense contractors, maybe out of Miramar or SPAWAR or Northrop Grumman, you face a very different, very rigid reality.
You can't exactly take classified documents to a coffee shop in Bellingham.
No, you cannot take highly classified work or hardware prototyping to a home office in the Pacific Northwest. You need to have a very serious, very sober conversation with your HR department about security clearances and physical presence requirements before you even open Zillow.
But what, let's say you can work remotely, or let's look at another angle. Let's say your specific industry involves Canadian markets.
That's a huge strategic advantage.
This is a massive hidden perk of this geography. Bellingham is roughly 30 minutes from the Canadian border. If you do any business in Vancouver, British Columbia, or if your company is expanding into Canada, this move is a massive strategic upgrade for your career. You are right on the international corridor.
What about the physical realities of travel? Because even if you are remote, you will likely need to go back and forth for quarterly meetings or just to see the family you left behind.
The flight logistics are shockingly convenient. This isn't like moving to the middle of nowhere.
How do you get back to San Diego?
Allegiant Airlines runs a highly efficient 3-hour nonstop flight directly from San Diego International right into Bellingham International. And because it's a budget carrier route, it's incredibly cheap, usually $150 to $400 round trip if you book even slightly ahead.
And it's easier than driving to LA sometimes.
You can finish work on a Friday in Washington, hop a flight, and be having dinner in San Diego that night.
And for the actual move, if you are stubbornly determined to drive the U-Haul yourself,
it's a straight shot. 1,345 miles straight up the spine of the West Coast on Interstate 5. The data says it takes 20 to 21 hours of pure driving time.
March.
Realistically, if you are driving a heavy truck, it's a brutal, exhausting 2-day drive. You'll end up stopping overnight somewhere around Redding, California, or Medford, Oregon. Honestly, the guide suggests that most professionals just hire interstate movers, ship the cars, and take that easy 3-hour flight.
That sounds vastly preferable.
Oh, and if your remote job is actually headquartered in Seattle, like Amazon, Microsoft, or Starbucks, Bellingham is only a 90-minute drive north. You can even take the scenic Amtrak Cascades train right along the water into downtown Seattle for your hybrid office days.
So the career and travel logistics are highly manageable. But now we arrive at the highest stress variable, real estate.
This is the scary part.
How do you comfortably spend $650,000 on a physical structure over FaceTime?
Right. This is the most terrifying part of the modern relocation, buying a house sight unseen. But the data outlines a very specific, battle-tested, 5-step remote buying process that systematically removes a vast majority of the anxiety.
Step one is the discovery call. This is standard real estate protocol. You sit down virtually with a local Bellingham broker, establish your budget, define your timeline, and set up the MLS alert so you're seeing the actual live inventory, not just the delayed syndication sites.
But step two is where the remote buying magic actually happens, virtual showings. And the guide makes a brilliant, vital distinction here. A good remote agent does not send you glossy, edited, drone footage marketing reels. Those are designed to hide flaws. Instead, they get on a live, unedited video call with you FaceTime or Zoom, and they walk through the house in real time.
They act as your eyes and ears.
They are your physical avatar. They deliberately point out the flaws. They hold the phone up to the single pane window so you can hear if the street noise is bad. They walk down into the dark basement and point the flashlight at the foundation to look for signs of water intrusion, which is huge in the Pacific Northwest.
So important up there.
You are experiencing the house, warts, smells, and all through their camera.
Step three is the physical visit, that vital scouting trip we discussed. The January test. The analysis actually recommends combining this winter trip with a tactical goal. If the right property pops up while you're there freezing in the drizzle, you make the offer in person.
Step four is the offer and inspection phase. And here is a massive legislative safety net for out-of-state buyers. Washington State utilizes an inspection contingency structure that is incredibly buyer-friendly. It gives the buyer the unilateral right to back out or ruthlessly negotiate repairs after the inspection period is complete. So you are not locked into a catastrophic financial mistake if the inspector finds a compromised roof or a failing sewer line.
That offers a lot of peace of mind. And finally, step five, closing remotely.
You don't have to fly back.
The mechanics of closing have modernized beautifully. You do not have to fly back to Washington just to sign a stack of papers. A mobile notary comes directly to your kitchen table in San Diego. You sign the physical documents, you wire the funds from your San Diego bank, and you receive the keys via lockbox code.
But we cannot skip the deeply strategic advice the guide gives regarding the timing of this entire transaction. Do not, under any circumstances, try to make a contingent offer.
Oh, contingent offers are tough.
Meaning, do not tell a Bellingham seller, I will buy your house, but only if my San Diego house sells first. In a competitive market, sellers despise contingent offers. They see it as a massive risk.
The superior strategy is sequencing. You must sell in San Diego first.
Exactly. You sell the San Diego house, you absorb the friction, you put your belongings in a POD or storage, you move into a short-term rental for a month or two, but crucially, you get that massive pile of equity out of the walls and into your liquid bank account.
Make yourself liquid.
Then, and only then, do you walk into the Bellingham real estate market as a cash buyer, or at least a buyer with an enormous, fully liquid down payment. You have maximized your leverage, you hold all the cards, and you can negotiate aggressively on the purchase price.
It creates a vastly stronger negotiating position. So we have mapped the financial math.
Yeah.
We have confronted the weather. We have solved the logistics. To bring this deep dive home, we need to zoom in on the actual map.
Where are we moving?
If a listener executes this perfectly, where exactly are these San Diego expats putting down roots when they finally arrive in Bellingham?
The 2026 data highlights five specific neighborhoods. And what I absolutely love about this breakdown is how the analysis directly correlates these Bellingham neighborhoods to specific San Diego neighborhoods.
It's like a translation guide for neighborhoods.
It translates the vibe perfectly for someone who has never been there. Let's walk through these character profiles.
The first and most prominent is Fairhaven.
Fairhaven is the closer. The guide says this specific neighborhood seals the deal for more Southern California buyers than any other part of the city.
Why is that?
It is a deeply historic Victorian-era village located on the south side of town. It is phenomenally walkable. We are talking independent bookstores with creaky wood floors, artisanal coffee shops, local breweries, and it's a five-minute walk straight down to the waterfront and the Alaska Ferry Terminal.
Sounds charming.
The housing stock is mostly gorgeous 1920s craftsmen's and bungalows. The analysis says if your current life in San Diego revolves around the energy of Hillcrest or the walkability of North Park or South Park, Fairhaven is your landing spot.
Yeah.
You will instantly recognize the cultural energy just in a much older brick building setting.
Next on the list is Edgemoor. This represents the higher-end executive market.
Right. Edgemoor sits on the northwest side, approached right on the water along the famous Chuckanut Drive. The homes here are significant $900K, pushing up to over $2 million for premium waterfront.
The big leagues.
It is extremely quiet, heavily residential, winding streets, and it boasts spectacular sweeping views of the San Juan Islands. This is the exact one-to-one landing spot if you are an executive cashing out of a massive equity position in Encinitas, La Jolla, or Del Mar. It offers that same secluded coastal wealth aesthetic.
Then we have Sejom.
Sejom is fascinating. It's a hillside neighborhood nestled right up against Western Washington University. It has great walkability down to the downtown core, but the massive draw here is the 180-acre, deeply forested arboretum integrated right into the neighborhood.
Oh, that's beautiful.
If your San Diego identity was built around trail running in Torrey Pines or mountain biking and mission trails, Sejom gives you that immediate out your front door access to dense nature. Plus, you get the perpetual youthful energy of being next to a 15,000 student campus Division II athletics, visiting lecturers, arts events.
For the families looking for a bit more space and a traditional suburban feel, there is South Hill.
South Hill occupies the highest elevation in the city proper. Because of that, you get big sweeping views of both Bellingham Bay and the snow-capped peak of Mount Baker.
Stunning views.
The architecture here leans heavily into sprawling 1970s ranches and newer, larger builds. It has incredibly quiet streets and feeds into excellent schools. The guide maps this neighborhood directly to families leaving the planned communities of Carlsbad, Poway, or Chula Vista. It's for the buyer who wants a real yard and a quiet cul-de-sac.
And finally, Barkley Village.
Barkley is a totally different concept. It's for the buyer who wants zero maintenance. It is a newer, master-planned, mixed-use development. It features highly walkable retail, a massive grocery store, a movie theater, and modern townhomes or condos. It's pure convenience.
You mentioned schools when talking about South Hill. For a relocating family, the education and healthcare infrastructure is just as important as the housing cost. How do the systems compare?
Bellingham School District is very strong, particularly noted for its investments in the arts and its dual language immersion programs. But the data points out a really interesting local trend.
What's the trend?
A lot of families focused intensely on athletics actually look 15 minutes north to the Ferndale School District, which just passed massive bonds to build some of the best K-12 facilities and athletic complexes in the entire county.
Oh, good to know.
There's also Linden further north, which offers a much more traditional agricultural-rooted educational environment. But the biggest culture shock for San Diego parents is going to be the scale.
Right. San Diego Unified is huge.
San Diego Unified is a massive, sprawling, highly bureaucratic machine. Bellingham schools are much smaller, highly integrated into the walkable neighborhoods, and generally exert less extreme competitive academic pressure. Some SoCal parents find that reduction in pressure a huge relief. Others actively miss the intense urban diversity and hyper-competitive magnet schools of California.
And the healthcare infrastructure. As people age, or if a family has specific medical needs, moving to a smaller population center is a massive concern.
The local healthcare is very solid. Bellingham is anchored by Peace Health St. Joseph, which serves as a major regional hospital. Now, we have to be honest, it is not UC San Diego Health.
You're not getting a massive research university hospital.
Right. It does not have the sheer volume of specialists or the cutting-edge research trials of a massive coastal biotech hub, but it is a very real, capable medical market. And for highly complex care, say, rare oncology or specialized pediatric surgery, you are only 90 minutes away from Seattle, which boasts world-class, globally recognized facilities like UW Medical Center and Virginia Mason.
Uh-huh.
You have access. You just have to drive a bit further for the absolute top tier.
Now, there is one final, truly fascinating point the data raises about the physical environment.
Mm.
We discussed the rain and the water supply, but we must discuss the geology, the natural disaster profile.
Yes, the seismic trade. When I read that this part of the analysis, it completely blew my mind. I'd never thought about it in these terms.
It is a profound shift in your physical risk profile. In San Diego, as we discussed, you are living with the constant seasonal threat of devastating wildfires.
Right.
But you are also sitting right on top of, or adjacent to, the Rose Canyon Fault and the Elsinore Fault Lines.
True. Earthquakes are a California staple.
These create a high-frequency, lower-magnitude earthquake risk. You feel the ground rattle fairly often. It's a 4.0 here, a 5.5 there. It's constant low-level geological anxiety.
Right. Every Californian knows the drill when the living room shakes. But when you move to Bellingham, you completely escape the Chaparral wildfires. But you're moving your family directly into the crosshairs of the Cascadia subduction zone.
Exactly. The tectonic mechanics completely change. You're moving off a strike slip fault and onto a megathrust fault, where the Juan de Fuca oceanic plate is actively sliding underneath the North American continental plate.
So the risk matrix shifts entirely. You move from the high-frequency, low-magnitude threat in California to an incredibly low-frequency but potentially massive catastrophic magnitude threat in the Pacific Northwest. We are talking about the potential for a 9.0-plus event.
It is a fascinating psychological trade-off. Do you want small earthquakes often or the threat of one giant earthquake once every 300 years?
Right. The author explicitly notes that while your fire insurance drops to nothing, purchasing a robust standalone earthquake insurance policy is an absolute non-negotiable must-have in Bellingham.
You are quite literally just trading one set of deep-seated geological anxieties for another.
Okay, let's pull all of these massive threads together. We have gone incredibly deep on the math and the mechanics of Gennaro Schaffer's relocation guide.
We have dissected the equity reset, the daily tax burn rate, the psychological weight of the weather, and the exact logistical steps of buying a home in another state.
So, if you are sitting in traffic on the 5 right now listening to this, calculating your own burn rate, what does this all mean for you?
Moving from San Diego to Bellingham is clearly not just a casual change of scenery.
It's a fundamental rewrite of your life.
It is a highly calculated, dramatic, and largely irreversible lifestyle shift. You are voluntarily choosing to trade the absolute best weather on the planet and the vibrant, high-friction, hyper-competitive energy of a massive coastal California city for immense generational financial leverage.
You are quite literally buying your time back.
You get a massive equity reset, zero state income taxes, and a slower, grayer, deeply forested pace of life.
You are fundamentally trading sunshine for financial freedom, and you have to decide which one warms you more.
But before we sign off, there is a lingering philosophical thread here. something the spreadsheets and the tax codes don't explicitly capture, but it has been hovering over this entire conversation. It's something for you, the listener, to deeply mull over if you find yourself staring longingly at Zillow listings in Washington tonight. It is the question of identity. How much of your core personality is actually dictated by your geography?
Exactly. When you strip away the constant validating sunshine, when you remove the fierce daily competition for space on the freeway, for tables at the restaurant, for spots at the trailhead, and when you finally eliminate the high-stress, grinding financial burn rate of Southern California, who do you actually become?
Who are you when you are placed in a quiet, rainy, slow-moving Pacific Northwest town?
It is a profound unknown. Does the intense friction of a city like San Diego actually create your internal drive? Do you need that competition to feel alive? Or will the peace, the lack of financial stress, and yes, even the moody gray skies of a slower environment finally allow a completely new, more relaxed version of yourself to emerge?
It's the ultimate question. You are trading in the high-maintenance, stressful Ferrari for the paid-off, reliable SUV with a massive pile of cash in the glove box.
The math works perfectly, but you still have to be the one who wakes up every day and drives it in the rain. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the 2026 San Diego to Bellingham Relocation Guide.
Take some time to run your own household numbers.
Be honest with yourself about the sunshine. And maybe, just maybe, book a flight for January to see how the gray feels. We'll catch you next time.